So, Lord, I thank you for this time we've enjoyed together. And, Lord, I know that as I've been called to preach this morning, you want to teach us and challenge us about your Spirit. Lord, we are a people who we are in a physical realm. And yet, Lord, you have given to us these truths in your word that preach to us such incredible things about you, that challenge us, Lord, to live in certain ways, that present your plan of redemption, and that we are sinners. And yet, God, you connect the two. God, as a pastor today, I have been watching I've been watching because I know that your Spirit is at work, and that you are real, alive, present, personal, powerful. I know, God, that you have brought into this place today the very people you wanted to be here. That may seem obvious to so many, but God, I don't want to miss the point that this is a result of your working in their life. The things that have been shared today, the testimony, the singing, the scripture, all of these things, God, are things that you have orchestrated and put together for us as a people, your people. And now, God, as a preacher, you have asked me to get up and to preach. And God, I want to be a part of this work, your work. God, I don't want to be a distraction from it. I want to join right with you. And I confess, God, sometimes that's hard to figure out. But only so much as I have my eyes on me and not on you. You know, I'm excited, Lord, for the next few moments that we share together. And I pray that you would give a passion to learn and a zeal to obey in my heart, in every heart that's in this place. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We have been called to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. What does that mean? Who is the Spirit? Who is he? And I'm not asking for just some theological definition, but do you realize in your life who the Spirit is? As Paul's been in writing and teaching these churches, these believers in Galatia, he has said things like this. Listen to Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a verse that we will quickly say, well, that's a greeting. And we see that in a lot of Paul's epistles to the believers. But listen, he says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. How? How am I to experience God's grace and God's peace in my life if God is a spirit? If God the Father is in heaven, he's never been seen, and Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He was seen, he lived and walked on this earth, but he is not here now. And yet Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. How does the grace and the peace get from there to here? Often in Christianity, we make these assumptions and we just take things for granted as this is the way it is, and grace be unto you. May you know God's peace. And yet, when you really think through it, apart from the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, there is no connection. Dear ones, the Holy Spirit is an imperative in your life as Christian. The Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God who indwells and lives, abides within you today, right now. The Spirit of God is God who ministers and works amongst us. And today, I want to share, and I believe God wants us to make that connection in our hearts and our minds, so that when we go from this place, we will be watchful and vigilant to see God at work and to know His Spirit is alive in us. Is the Spirit alive in you today? That would be a question to ask yourself, and you would ask that, and to find the answer, you would look at your life. And when you would look at your life and to see what kind of fruit exists there. In Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is found. And we're not going to dive into that today. But in the future, yes, we will. But in preparation for that, I believe it was fitting. And I know I needed to be reminded, shall I say, of who the Spirit is and His role in a believer's life. We're not going to do an exhaustive or complete study, and if you're looking for that, this is not the time or the place for that. But I want to give you some basic truths about the Holy Spirit and some passages for you to dive into and for you to consider and to be encouraged about God at work in your life. Let us be clear about something. There is only one God. We don't want to be confused. There is only one God who manifests Himself in three persons: the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are places in the Scriptures where all three are seen at one time. Notably, the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is in the water, where the Father speaks from heaven, and where the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. But yet we serve only one God, but yet that one God has gone to such lengths to make himself known and to work in and amongst us that he has manifested himself in human form through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, in telling his disciples right the night before he died, the night he was betrayed, he said, I will go and I will send to you the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is mysterious to many. And for that reason, I believe that the church at times has neglected the ministry of the Spirit of God. You know, there are two sides of the spectrum of understanding the Holy Spirit. On one side, he is glorified to the point that Jesus is forgotten. This is the sad conclusion of many who are charismatic or Pentecostal, if you will, in their backgrounds. They make so much of the spiritual gifts and the working of the Spirit that Jesus Christ is no longer the focal point, and many times the gospel is watered down. But on the other side of that spectrum, if you will, so on this side, he's glorified to the point that Jesus is forgotten. On the other side, the Spirit is ignored to the point that God's presence in us is forgotten. So in other words, some, in a response to how so much is made of the Spirit over here, have walked all the way over here and said, we're not going to talk about the Spirit at all. And the result of that is people that are walking around seemingly dead. Where's the life? Perhaps you've experienced those spectrums, or those extremes in your life and various churches that you've attended, or even in your own life personally. Today, I want us to look at a couple passages of Scripture. And the reason I'm doing this is because Paul talks about the Spirit in Galatians, and we're in the midst of a study of Galatians, as you know. Paul talks about the Spirit, beginning in chapter 3, a few times there, and then in chapter 5, and he talks about the Spirit as someone who is known by the believers in Galatia, as if it's not a shock to them when he says the Spirit of God lives within you. It's not a shock to them, for when he says, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that they themselves can experience that because they know God's presence is among them through the person of the Spirit of God. When Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, a verse that you have heard and is very popular from Galatians, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but listen to this, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ lives in me. Really, Paul? If you don't have an understanding of the Spirit's presence in a believer's life, then how can you understand Christ lives in you? Because let's face it, the last sighting of Jesus was what? In the book of Acts, we know Stephen looked up and saw him standing on the right side of the Father. So if that is where he is and waiting to come for his church, and Paul says, Christ lives in me, what does that mean? How is that possible? How can Jesus Christ live in here? Live in me? Now, I know I'm making, you might think I'm making too much out of a little thing, but no, I think we need to talk about these things that so often we just assume. But yet, realizing this, God's Spirit is the key. God's Spirit is the reason why Paul can say, Christ lives in me because his Spirit lives in me. When I am curious about the Spirit, or when I want to be reminded of the Spirit of God, I love to go to John. And so I'd like to encourage you to go to John chapter 14. Because here we have Jesus speaking with his disciples. And this is, again, on the night he was betrayed. And he, in these passages, in John chapter 13, 14, all the way up to chapter 17, he is preparing his disciples for when he will be away from them, for when he will, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And so then they will be left on the earth, and he will be with the Father, preparing a place for them. John 14. So he's preparing them for this, and in the preparing, the preparation for this, he tells them about the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not going to take the time to explain all of these verses, but I want to read them. They need to fall on our ears today. John 14, pick up verse 15. John 14, 15 reads, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Look at verse 26. Actually, look at verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now just take a moment and think about what you just read. And think of what Paul told the Galatians. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is the one who takes Jesus, who says, I leave with you my peace, I give it to you. And he applies it into the hearts of the people, applies it into the hearts of believers. And the same is true for us today, dear church. You can know God's peace in your life. And you can know it because God is personally indwelling within you through his Spirit. It is sad to me for those who have a view of God as distant and disconnected with mankind. Christianity, you as a Christian, that is not our God. He is not distant. He is not disconnected. He is intimately involved in your life. As Jesus was involved in the lives of his apostles. John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Two things that I want to draw your attention to here. You've seen it twice now. Spirit of what? Spirit of truth. Any questions as to what is truth today? Right? Where am I going to find truth? God, guide us as a church. God, guide me as a father. God, guide me as a husband in my family. Keep me anchored on the truth. How am I going to figure that out? You see, God's already taken care of that. His Spirit guides you unto all truth. The second thing I want you to notice is it says, he shall testify of me. You see, the Spirit of God is about pointing people to Christ, about causing people to remember the words and teachings of Christ. The Spirit testify of Jesus. And this is where some people get it wrong, and they emphasize too much the Spirit, and they forget Jesus, because they miss the role of the Spirit to testify of Christ and to cause people to remember Christ's words. Chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. What's implied there? There's going to be some more truths from Jesus. How are they going to get here? The Spirit of God. Do you know how the Bible was written? By holy men who were moved or carried along by the very Spirit of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed it out. Did you know that Spirit can also, in different places, be translated breath? John 16, continuing on. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. He's a Spirit of truth. He guides into all truth. He does not speak of himself, but what does he do? He speaks the words of Christ. He glorifies Christ. And so, dear ones, listen. The Spirit of God is at work helping you to understand God's Word and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. How else would you do that? How can we be so intimately connected with God that we can actually live in a way that's pleasing to Him? Because He comes and lives in us. As you know, in Acts chapter 1 and 2, it describes the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. And I found it quite fascinating. And again, I credit the Spirit of God and His work to be preaching this message on this day. Because do you know what this day is on the calendar? It's the day of Pentecost. Today is the day that it's the 50 days. It's the 50th day that's talked about in Acts chapter 2. When the Spirit came down upon the apostles with tongues of fire, and they spoke tongues and they preached to the crowds in Jerusalem. And people began to be saved, and the church is born. What a good day to talk about the Spirit. And to remind us again that the Spirit, Jesus Christ, did send His Spirit as He promised. And the disciples experienced His power. And from them the word went forth, and God worked and grew His church all around the world to a little place called Rural Grove. Here we sit today. The book of Acts describes the working of God's Spirit in the early church. Fascinating as you read through it, pay attention to the Spirit's work. I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. I'm highlighting some passages for you because my intention is not to give an exhaustive study of the Holy Spirit today, but to remind us and emphasize for us His presence and power amongst us. Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the what?
Spirit.
The Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. So you see, Paul is writing because there has been some teaching prior to this. There is an understanding about the presence of the Spirit of God. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And thus, Paul provides the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit, much like he does in Galatians. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't it interesting to see that we can live a Christian life, a vibrant life of life and peace? How? Because the Spirit. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Did you hear that? Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, hear this, church, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. This is pretty clear, isn't it? If you are His, if you are Christ, then you have the Spirit in you. You see, the Christian life, as Paul talks about in Galatians, is not meant to be one that's lived out of exertion and sweat and work, work, work to try to gain merit and justify yourself before God. It is a life that is lived by faith. God has been gracious unto you. And in order for a life to be lived by faith, to accept and receive God's grace, there has to be some sort of connection with the Almighty God who provides us with the ability to do so, and that is the very Spirit of God. There is much more that we can read in Romans chapter 8, but I'll leave that for you to enjoy. To wrap up our time, I want to remind us of three things that Paul gives us in Galatians. So go back to Galatians as we seek to cement in our minds the reality of the Spirit and His power and His presence. The first time that the Spirit is mentioned in this letter to Galatia is in chapter 3. In chapter 3, in verse 2, we read these words: "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Well, church, listen. Paul speaks here of the Spirit being received. The Spirit being one who is in your life. How was He received? How was your life begun? And how has your life continued on? The Spirit of God sanctifies us. His power, His presence in your life purifies you, makes you more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That all began by a regenerating work of the Spirit of God. Do you know that when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, He said, "You must be what? Born again?" You must be born of the Spirit, He says. That's God's work in you. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 says, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The Spirit sanctifies us. His power, His presence in your life is that which causes you to see things that are not right and to turn from them, to enjoy doing things that are of God and to living in righteousness and good works. The Spirit of God is the one who helps you and directs you. He sanctifies and purifies your life. In chapter 5 of Galatians, in verse 5, a verse we recently studied together, we read, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Not only does the Spirit sanctify us, but the Spirit sustains us. You see, the Spirit keeps on reminding us of the hope that is found in Christ. That's what truth does. That's what spending time in the Word of God, reminding us of the gospel, it sustains us. It gives us the stamina to keep on keeping on, because this life can be really hard. And to know the Spirit is within you and is actively feeding you truth and is comforting you sustains us. But not only does the Spirit sanctify us and sustain us, but the Spirit steers us. And this brings us to the passage we'll look at in the future in Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You understand that to walk in something is this imagery of a path. And you are walking in that path. But in this passage, there's two paths. You either walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I like to say it this way, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given the first option of following the Spirit. So you are walking in the path of life, and a point of decision is before you. Because the Spirit is living within you, because God is for you, because God's truth is being taught to you, you have that opportunity to say, I will go your way, God, I will serve you. And in doing so, you will not go the path of the lusts of the flesh. But I want to tell you, when we come to that point of decision, and we see this option that God has before us, but we listen to our flesh. Which, listen, is real, isn't it? Can I get a witness on that one? You feel that flesh? Yes, you do. That's why we sin. Because sometimes we end up walking that road of the lusts of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, listen. The Lord inspired Paul to write this in such a way, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Spirit's presence in our life, it steers us towards righteousness. And that's what God's doing in your life. And praise be to God, because otherwise we'd be a mess. We'd be all in the flesh. And what kind of witness would we be? Of what value to the kingdom of God? God knows what He's doing. And He puts the Spirit within us because He knows we need His help. Oh, God, help us. Steer us. God, sustain us. God, sanctify us. Thank you, God, for this precious time and for reminding us of the Spirit today. And indeed, as I talk, Lord, as I talk, the temptation sometimes might be that it's just bouncing off the ceiling, but no, your Spirit hears me. And I pray that this reminder today would excite us that God, you're intimately involved in our lives. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.